Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
If Zappe does get the start, how much of a difference does he make?
None. I mean, what does he do? I don't see him do anything this year. Like, they you know, look, it's the old adage, right? You know, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. I mean, they're just throwing, you know, they're just grabbing at straws. Look, we're down to 13 quarterbacks in this league. That's, to me, what Zappe is, a 13 quarterback. Probably finish the game for you. I don't think he's going to do anything special out there. He isn't going to suddenly become a 70% completion quarterback. I mean, he doesn't look like a guy that that can come in there and win games for you right now.
Good Saturday to you, KJ Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. John, that's Brian Baldinger saying that Bailey Zappe is not the guy. And I would say, yeah, no duh, but guess what? The guy who's supposed to be the guy ain't the guy.
Yeah, I think the guy, KJ, is not even in the six New England states at this moment. So I don't know who the guy is, but he's probably not in the
last
NFL.
Night. I think he played last night in Vegas. Yeah.
He may have played last night. He may be playing today, but he is not in the six New England states at the moment.
So how did we get to this point? Because if you hear what Baldinger's saying, he's like, do you expect him to be a 70% completion guy? No, I think Bailey Zappe is one that's closer to what Belichick wants to do in terms of his, let's just call it his DNA, right? That Zappe is more likely going to say, you know what? I'm more prone to do what Bill asked me to do than to change the play at the line, right? I'm more willing to run the ball on, say, a third and eight than risk a turnover in a no man's zone, like in the 40s, if you will.
Yeah.
But do you remember what two games were the highest scoring games for the Patriots last year?
I believe the game against Cleveland that Zappe started, and then the game against Baltimore, Matt got hurt in?
No, it's Detroit.
Yeah.
The very next week.
Well, in the Detroit game, I'm not trying to go anti-Zappe. Like, they did score a defensive touchdown in that game, so they only scored 22 offensive points. That's why I was thinking offensively the highest scoring games. But you're right. Technically, yes, it was.
So I've always said that, look, Zappe is not the guy. He's not the future, but he's the guy that isn't going to buck Bill's system, right? This is a season that's done. I can't think of a time where I've seen a Patriots quarterback pull four times in a season?
Four times. And really, in the last 2 years, it's been five times in 2 years, but four this season, yeah.
Right. So if we go under the mantra of, hey, last year is last year and this is a new season, it's worse. And this is very comparable for, I have to go pull up this, if there's film of it on Google, are the days of Jim Plunkett. There just seems to just be that relative relationship between those two. Like, Plunkett threw 25 interceptions, his second year. So there was this regression, first round guy, first overall, didn't work out, had a future story later with the Raiders when he was much older, but his time here in New England was absolutely disastrous. A family member of mine used to be involved with the Patriots at that time. So as a little kid, I wasn't I'm watching Patriots games, but I knew of just how bad it was. And so I think you have something similar like that with Mac Jones now. But to think that Bailey Zappe is going to go out there and be so much worse than what we've seen, I think is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and look, I think Mac is the most talented quarterback in the group, if you will, but obviously he's been awful most of this year. There's no way, like, even though, you know, none of us are believers that Zappe is some savior, but he's not going to give you the catastrophic mistakes I think we've seen out of Mac Jones this year. Because we talked about this last week. I feel like we've been talking about this all year, KJ. Not only is Mac making mistakes, the mistakes he's making are killing them. It's not just an interception. It's a pick six. It's not just a sack. It's a sack and a fumble, right? It's not just a misconnection on a touchdown. It's a misconnection and an interception against the Colts. Like, so he's not only making mistakes, he's getting, you know, those mistakes to turn into catastrophic things that cost the team games. And I don't think you'll get that out of Zappe. I don't think you're going to get great play. I think we saw in the second half against the Giants, you know, they are really scared about him doing a lot. He was very limited, but it was your only touchdown drive in that game. Zappe led. He threw an interception, but I didn't view that. I viewed it as a bad throw, but it wasn't a catastrophic mistake that, you know, led to points.
Right. So, it's almost like the gamble you have to make the gamble, right? It's one of those situations where I think if you look at everything that's occurred, and I say this goes back to when Mac started yapping at Patricia and Judge last year. It's like any type of organization. You go against management, you're going to go in against some people that are above your immediate supervisors, right? You be careful who you bark at.
Especially when you're a second-year guy in Mac Jones. Like, it's one thing, like, you know, people, I remember when Bill O'Brien got hired and people shared the film of him arguing with Tom Brady on the sidelines back in, I think it was 2011.
Something totally different.
And against Washington. At that point, Brady had already won three Super Bowls and multiple MVPs. Like, it's a lot different than, hey, I'm in my second year. And even, hey, I was very critical of Patricia and Judge. I don't think they were good coaches. I don't think they called good games. But it's still a lot different when you're a second-year quarterback barking at those guys and being disrespectful. I didn't think that was appropriate, especially, you know, you do it once. Okay, hey, your emotions got the best of you. You do it multiple times in a row on national TV.
There, like, you go. There's the key words right there.
Yeah,
national TV.
That's
prime time. All these disasters are happening on national levels. It's like, I don't know if y'all oversaw the movie The Great White Hype with Damon Wayans and Jeff Goldblum, and Goldblum is like this, supposed to be like this investigative journalist, and then turns around and realizes that the Don King character, who is Samuel L. Jackson, gets him to work with him. And at the very end of the movie, Damon Wayans is like, wait, are you trying to embarrass me on television? And just absolutely pummels the other guy on TV. And I said, at that time, I said, you know, look, for Mac, as you mentioned, with Brady, even if you go back to Brady, you would say anybody after Charlie Weiss would have to be a contributor with Brady in the offense. They really weren't teaching him anything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and look, and I think, like, when you, there's a lot of reasons that Mac Jones is no longer the starting quarterback, and I think that's a piece of it. But I think even if he did that and he didn't throw a bunch of catastrophic interceptions, then, you know, he'd probably still be the starter. And maybe there would be a little bit of tension there. Maybe they'd have a conversation with him now and then. But it's the combination of, yeah, they didn't like his attitude last year, and he made a bunch of mistakes towards the second half of last year and even early in the year. But now this year, he's just gone through the floor. And again, some of this is not his fault either. Like, I do think he was put in a bad situation coaching-wise last year. He was put in a bad situation talent-wise this year. But independent of that, he didn't have a great attitude last year, and he made a bunch of mistakes this year. So you put all that together, and that's why a guy that none of us believe in as the future guy in Zappe is probably going to be their starting quarterback for the rest of the year, at the very least for this week and probably next week as well.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mark in Medford on about the popularity of this team moving forward. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
You're on the air, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't grab my phone. Listen, I know the Patriots getting flexed out in the Monday night game against Kansas City. Is this a sign of things to come for Patriots fans? Are we not going to be able to see them on Sunday anymore? Because that's how it was back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Nobody could watch the Patriots back then. Is it going to go back to that?
Well, the good thing, Mark, thanks for the call. Well, the good thing is the NFL has changed that rule on the blackout stuff. That's what it used to be. If you didn't sell out your stadium, they would black out the game locally. That doesn't happen anymore because of the television deals. You could see the game still.
Yeah, we might need that for this season.
Well, yeah. You just put a paper bag over your head. But come on. No one saw the Monday night football game being flexed out, but everybody saw and still sees coming being flexed out of Christmas Eve night. Everybody sees that coming. So I think the people at ABC were just kind of like, or ESPN, I'm sorry, were the same people. We're kind of like, hey, you know what? Taylor Swift's not going to show up. She's in Brazil. So think about it. If they'd still put that Patriots-Chiefs game on, fans across the country would say the only reason why they're showing this game is to see if Taylor Swift is there. And then the league would get slammed in the face saying that it was appeasing these Swifties just for a primetime gig than an actual competitive football game that you could put on at that time. I mean, my goodness, this Thursday night, people are joking about how when you had the two icons up about next Thursday, it's Belichick versus TJ Watt, right? Like, that shows you how bad it is. So, yeah, the Patriots are going to be kind of a 103 Sunday kickoff team for a while. It's just going to be that way.
Yeah, and I think the days of the multiple primetime games in a row are over with now, because that's what this would have been. You would have had Thursday night national TV primetime, if you want to call Amazon Prime national TV. But then you would have had Monday night and then, of course, Sunday night, Christmas Eve. And I think they picked the one in the middle that was maybe the easiest one to flex. And the only reason I say that is because the Christmas Eve game is on Christmas Eve. Maybe that's a little harder to flex than your typical Sunday night game. So they probably took the Chiefs game and said, hey, we'll flex them out in the middle. So if the Patriots play poorly on Thursday night against the Steelers, America has 2 weeks to forget about it before they have to see him again on prime time. But yeah, I think the NFL rule is like every team has to get a Thursday night game, and every team might have to get one other, like either a Sunday or a Monday. So I think
Thursday is the only guarantee.
Yeah. So like I think next year you'll get a Thursday night game and then one of a Sunday night or a Monday night game, and that might be it. And of course, look, if you draft a quarterback number one overall, number two overall, maybe later in the year if you're doing okay, they'll flex you back into a night game, a primetime game. But I think when we get the schedule in April or early May, whenever it is, I bet you we're going to see no more than two primetime games on the schedule. Where we used to, five, six, seven primetime games, it feels like. I think this April we're going to see just two.
But to Mark's call, to caller Mark's point, here's the thing. It was worse last year. The worst game you can be flexed out of, actually, is Sunday night, right? Because that's the national network game. ESPN is a if you're thinking
highest
like
rated show on TV,
right? So Sunday night football is the game you don't want to get flexed out of, because what they're saying is you're not the crowning jewel for that week. If you remember, once Monday night started, so you remember Sunday night football when it first came to ESPN, just a little historical perspective.
Was that like 2005?
Somewhere in those early
years. No, actually,
it
was like 2002, I think. So,
right.
Yeah.
Sunday night was kind of a throwaway game, and Monday was still important. Now it's flipped, where Sunday is the most important game because it's the only game that NBC gets. And Monday night has become a lesser of a thing because it's on cable. It's not on free television, if you will. So the rates are going to be different. So last year when the Patriots got flexed out of the Sunday night game, that was a precursor of what was coming down the pike. I think it might have really been that, you know, when I guess they looked at Taylor Swift's itinerary and said, hey, this girl's probably going to be in Brazil or somewhere in Chile doing a show that night. She's not going to be there, so there's no purpose in showing that game. I was working on Joe Jonas to be here for that game just to see if we could get a cut shot of him as she's across the way.
Yeah, I do think, though, the fact that it's the first ever Monday Night Flex stands out a little bit, too, right? Yeah. It's not just, like, if this happened next year when there had already been two or three flexes out of Monday Night, we still would talk about it and we'd be like, oh, wow, that's embarrassing. But the fact that it's the first one ever, and you look across, I know you mentioned Taylor Swift, but the Chiefs are a compelling product, especially for primetime, because you have Pat Mahomes, you have Kelsey, right. You have Andy Reid even against Belichick. Like, could Andy Reid catch Belichick someday? And like, there's all these storylines. It's been a rivalry for many years now. Even after Brady left, like, the Patriots played the Chiefs relatively close in a couple games. Yeah. Even that COVID year, I mean, that was a close game late in the second half. Point is, even with that team across from you, they still flexed you out for the first time ever of Monday night. And I think that's the part. It's not like it's the 2-9 Patriots against the 4-7 Chargers playing on Monday night like they're playing this Sunday. It's the best team in the league, defending Super Bowl champs, elite star power, rivalry, at least over the last few years, and you still flex them.
Yeah, as you said,
which
if
I think
it was
says
like
a lot about the Patriots.
If it was like the fourth game that was ever flexed, it wouldn't be that big
the
a deal.
First ever.
But the fact you're on the wrong the side of history for the first time in a long time.
Look, boys, you got to lose your virginity to somebody, okay? And it has to be somebody. And I think the something that the NFL thought would be that the Patriots would be a better team this year after coming off of a losing record last year. They would have some advantageous wins, and that the narrative could be, hey, a New England Patriots team that's close to or might be in the playoff hunt versus Andy Reid and Andy Reid's win total and of course, Bill chasing Shula, but Andy Reid is now chasing Belichick, right? So that's what I think they were hoping for when you scheduled this game. I would have told you last year, like, this team, like, at best, the Patriots should probably sniff one Thursday game, probably one 4:25 game, and everything else a 1:03 kickoff just because the product isn't good out there.
Yeah, and I think we've been on the other side of this for many years, too. Or even, like, the Patriots would be 9-2, and they'd be playing a team that was under 500, and it wouldn't get flexed because you had Brady and Belichick, right, and the Patriots were this big thing.
The most hated team in America.
Right.
Outside of New England, right.
I think now, though, we're on the other side of it where the Patriots stink, but the fact that they got flexed out on top of it makes it even worse. Because not just it's the, you know, first Monday night flex, it's you have this great team with star power on the other side that we have seen on our side of it for many years, and they still wanted you flexed out. That's how bad you've become, and especially your quarterback situation has become.
KJ Lyons, WEEI, get in the conversation, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll continue this conversation about Bailey Zappe potentially starting tomorrow. What does that mean for Mac Jones? What does it mean for the management structure with the Patriots and more? Right now, it's time to trend with Joe Braverman.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, going from football to basketball, the Celtics kept their winning ways. They stay undefeated at home with a 125-119 victory over the 76ers. No Joel Embiid, no Tyrese Maxey for Philly, but the Celtics were shorthanded in the fourth quarter as Jason Tatum was ejected at the end of the third, arguing an offensive foul call. He, though, argued his side of the argument postgame.
I've been in the league long enough. I've seen a lot worse behavior and reactions get tolerated for a lot longer. So, you know, for those two to throw me out the game, I was shocked. And, you know, it's like you always say, get your money's worth, right? We get fined for these texts. And I definitely did not get my money's worth for getting thrown out the game tonight.
Four Celtics scored 20 or more points. Tatum and Derek White finished with 21 each. Al Horford and Jaylen Brown contributed 20 as well. Seas will now head to Indiana to face the Pacers in the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament on Monday. The Bruins are back in the ice tonight for a rivalry matchup in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. First of a back-to-back for the Bees. Puck drop is set for 7 o'clock. Final injury report has been released as the Patriots gear up to host the L.A. Chargers. Receivers Kayshon Boutte and DeMario Douglas have been ruled out. That means it's the return of Malik Mania. Malik Cunningham has been elevated to the 53-man roster. Six other Patriots are listed as questionable, that being Chris Board, Ezekiel Elliott, Trent Brown, Riley Reiff, Sidy Sow, and Dietrich Wise. Only one notable name for the Chargers, receiver Keenan Allen, is questionable with a quadricep injury. Pats and Jets from Gillette tomorrow at 1. College football, last night, third-ranked Washington knocked off fifth-ranked Oregon in the final Pac-12 championship, 34-31. Huskies all but clinch a college football playoff spot with an undefeated regular season at 13-0. Championship weekend will continue today, including the SEC championship between Georgia and Alabama, followed by the Big Ten championship between Michigan and Iowa. You can listen to both games here on WEEI-FM 93.7 with coverage starting at 3:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty consistent. It's about what it's been all year. It's pretty even keeled. Not a lot of roller coaster with him.
KJ and Lions on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's Bill Belichick saying, Bailey Zappi's just remained as calm as an eagle song. John, last year, and Joe Braverman jump in as well, because last year I wrote a parody called Bailey Zappi's That Dude, and Joe and I.
Yes, we were here for that. I was here for that.
He was here for that, and I won a national award for Radio Personality of the Year Sports Division. And Joe, you got the check, the percentage, right?
Straight cash, homie, yes, sir.
Straight cash, because... it wasn't a lot, but it was enough to say in that song that all Bailey Zappi had to do was remain confident, cool. Don't buck Belichick. Watch your back 10. Bailey Zappi might be that dude. And here we are on the precipice of this tomorrow. And that's what Belichick just said in that cut, that this guy has just remained calm. He knows what he can do. And let's face it, the only times that Bailey Zappi has had the bulk of the snaps in practice, what happened with the games?
The two games he started, they won.
Yes, they won. And so that's something you haven't seen. There hasn't been a winning culture here. There wasn't even a chance to try and make a playoff run with the last three games of last season. I think once you hit that Buffalo game of last year, that second one, it just was nothing but a slide. I think they were 2-5 down the road.
Well, they were still in the playoff hunt on the last day of the season.
Yeah, but you don't do that and go 2-5.
They were there.
Right, but okay, so let's say you take those two games.
Did I have confidence in them, like winning a playoff game? Absolutely not. But they were last day of the season there, and then of course they gave up two kick returns for touchdowns in week 18.
Or let's say you split those games. Let's say Bailey Zappi wins the Cleveland game and Mac Jones loses the Detroit game, whatever, or vice versa. That would have been one more game potentially on the loss column for Mac's side. And it just feels like now, and coming up at 12:45, the very last parody involving Mac Jones ever out of my mouth. It's the last one, but it's for the fans of Mac Jones. And it just feels like, hey, can you come to the realization that Mac is not the guy? Now, it doesn't matter if Bailey Zappi's not better. It's just that Mac is not good enough. He had not earned it. He did not win it. When Cam Newton is taking shots with the shredded wheat arm out there, he's letting y'all know that this guy didn't beat me out as bad as I was at that time, and look where things are now. I just think, this is just me and maybe a few others, that people want to hold on to the idea of Mac and have ignored all the signs of what really is Mac on the field, and that Bailey Zappi isn't anything worse than what you've seen, not what you think.
Yeah, look, I think, again, Zappi will give you or not give you the catastrophic mistakes that Mac has given you this year. Now, he may not be better. I don't think he is better. I think he's probably talent-wise a little bit worse, but he won't make those catastrophic mistakes, and I think that makes a huge difference. And I think the stuff with Mac, too, and I have this a little bit as well, and I think a lot of people do. Like, you're right, KG. The evidence of this year is that Mac has been terrible, and he's not the guy. The evidence of at least half of last year is Mac was bad. But the problem is we have seen Mac perform at a level where he looked like he had the potential to be the guy. And most of it was his rookie year. There was a little bit last year at times, like the first half of that Baltimore game in week 3 last year, early on in the Minnesota game on Thanksgiving night last year. Like, so we've seen these glimpses of, oh, this guy could be pretty good. You're not elite, but he could be, hey, he could be pretty
good. That Minnesota
good.
Defense that was 31 against the pass last year.
Yeah, if you want to play that game, though, I mean, Zappe faced two of the worst defenses in the league last year in his starts. But the point is...
But both of them were on the playoff cusp this year.
But yeah, but we're not... He didn't face them this year. So, like, I that's where sometimes I go with it, in that I get why sometimes people want to hang on to it a little bit. Because we've seen some of those glimpses that, hey, Mac could be pretty good. The problem is, KJ, and you're 100% right, look at the evidence. This year, he has shown emphatically that for whatever reason, and there's multiple reasons, he is no longer the guy here, and he probably will never play here again. And if he ever is the guy, it's going to be somewhere very far away from here.
Yeah, I hear the narrative, like Mac showed the glimpses of in his rookie year, and I'm just going back and looking and saying, wow, you know, he passed for 159 yards in that second game at the Jets, which was a win. The Saints game was a disaster. The Bucs game was a rain blessing, and you hung in there because of the Brady factor. That Texans game was a near disaster. Remember that?
Yeah. Did lead a second half comeback in that game, though.
Right. That's his first fourth quarter.
Went toe-to-toe with Dak Prescott. Should have won that game. Right. Defense got smoked in that game. He gave him a lead multiple times late in the game.
Right.
But like, even the 197 yards he threw for against Cleveland, and I know it's 197, so the number doesn't look good. Right. Some of the throws he made in that game, specifically the touchdown to Kendrick Bourne, but also the pass before it to Myers. Even go back to his first start against the Dolphins in week one, which should have been a win if Damian Harris doesn't fumble. The wheel route throw he made to James White. Like, all of those things are things he is not doing now and really hasn't done in a year and a half.
And you would say that to the element of surprise. You don't know what you're going to get. You have no tape on the guy or what have you. So I start to say, I don't really judge any player until maybe 5-6 games of consistency where teams now know how to properly game plan and if you could beat that game plan. So I think the game that all of us who are so like, Max got it, is that Jets game from the first year with the three touchdowns and the 400 yards passing. Yeah. You're like, this guy can do it. It was the start of a win streak that was coming. The defense was on fire.
Yeah.
It ended up giving up like less than 14 points over a three-week period. So all those things made you feel good about Mac. And I would still say, well, some would say it was against the Jets.
Yeah. Right? I mean, for me, the game was the Tennessee game in late November of 2021. And I know Tennessee was without some guys in that game, but he played really well. I think with that win, they went to 9-4, and they were playing really well. He looked great. And that was multiple games into it. Like, that's when I looked at it like, oh, they might real. Like, I had been impressed prior to that, but that game was when I was like, oh, they might really have something there.
So and then when he tailed off. So then when on the contrary did it turn? Like, where so specifically? The which game are we
that.
Talking?
Well, after that.
I think after the Buffalo
so
game.
So they lost to the Colts, I think, the next. Either I don't remember if they had a bye and then lost to the Colts or it was the Colts right away. But they lost to the Colts on Saturday night. And again, even in that game, they gave up a blocked punt for a touchdown. They had a penalty on a field goal that the Colts missed. And then the Colts made the field goal after the penalty. So, like, that's a game they probably should have won. But he tailed off a little there. And then even in the playoff game against Buffalo, right? Like, they got smoked. But I thought Mac competed hard. If, you know, Micah Hyde doesn't make that amazing interception early on, or Brandon Bolden doesn't have that big drop, yeah, the Patriots still lose, but it's probably a lot closer. And then last year, you just saw so much inconsistency. Like, the first half against Baltimore, he went toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson.
Can I go back to 2021?
And then in the second half, he throws December, three interceptions. But yeah, sure, yeah.
2 years ago at this time, December 3rd, somewhere in there, the Buffalo at Buffalo game, where Mac had 2 out of 3 attempts for 19 yards. What did it? You know, when you watch these detective shows, what did management know that despite all the wins, because Josh Allen still had to throw the ball too? What did management know that told them that their game plan was going to call for running the ball on 30 straight plays? What did they know? What could they have been hiding at that point? Because you can only say, you look at that point, you go, wow. A team that's on a roll, a quarterback you feel you have confidence about, his name is being ballyhooed as Rookie of the Year at this point, and you're going to have him only have 3 passing attempts in that entire game. What did you know?
Yeah, because that should have been the first hint.
They won the game. Like, so I understand. Like, I know they didn't trust him to throw a lot. I get it. But that was the best way for them to win the game, was running, because it was 45-mile-an-hour winds. And everybody knows Mac doesn't have the arm Josh Allen has. Josh Allen in that game, he threw the ball 30 times. So I know it's different, but he only completed 50% of his passes. because the conditions were so bad. Even a guy with an arm as great as him. So
okay, so if Mac threw the ball 10 times and completed it 5 times, that still would have been two more attempts than he had the whole game.
He still wouldn't have won the game. Like, that's why, to me, I don't look at that game the same way you do. Like, I understand, like,
but this is what I'm saying with the overall narrative, John, that people wanted to believe in the story of Mac and were not looking at the examples that were on the field. Go back in the history of this league where there have been heavier win situations. I think of the 85 playoff game between the Bears and the Rams. I remember this as a kid. 50 mile an hour, six. Nobody only threw the ball 3 times. Nobody. Like, what do you know? 617-779-7937. Jesse in New Bedford. Thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys? It's just funny to me, the people who have this underlining take on Mac. You know, they rake him under the coals. They psychoanalyze every word, every movement. But nobody seems to be bringing up that Giotti had a report a couple of weeks back that Zappi's attitude rubbed people the wrong way in that building. And the fact that when they asked him a question, what kind of a practice that you had, with a big grin on his face, we had a great practice. Dude, your team is 2-9. This ain't Bailey Zappi hour, okay? As much as he wants to believe that, it's just he has this cockiness about him that they try to portray as confident. It's a load of crap. And then you try to cherry pick the Buffalo Bills game. Okay, well, what about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game where Mac Jones went toe to toe with the GOAT? And if Bill Belichick still had a set of cojones on him, he would have went for it on 4th-and-2 instead of kicking a 56-yarder in the pouring rain. All I'm saying is Mac has not played good. No, he has not. But if you wrote a book on how to destroy your franchise quarterback, Bill underneath, and Bill Belichick's the author, because he took away Jacoby Myers, best third down receiver. Who's he replacing him with? Juju. He's got nobody to throw to. Where's his third down back that Brady's had all these years? This offense is pretty much based on a slot receiver and a third down back. Where is it? It's nowhere to be found. And mark my words, when Mac gets traded, and he will get traded, he's going to go to either the Niners or the Rams or maybe the Vikings. And when he gets his chance, he's going to ball out. And everybody around here is going to have a big piece of humble pie coming their way, courtesy of Mac. You'll see.
Jesse, thanks for the call. And he's perfect for the parody that's coming up in 10 minutes, John.
Yeah, and I do think one thing I really am interested on is when, and I don't think Mac's going to get traded. I think he's going to get cut, and then he's going to get picked up. But, you know, I do think he'll have more success somewhere else, but what is that level of success going to be? Like, if you're throwing a Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, yeah, you'll have some success. If you have that 49ers team around you, yeah, you're going to have some success. I am curious to see how much more success that will be than, because his most successful year here was his rookie year. How much more successful or less successful he'll be with that. But the caller makes an interesting point. I mean, if you wanted to write a book on how to mess up a young quarterback, the Patriots would have a nice fat chapter in it in the last 2 years. And it's ironic because, to me, KJ, it's the opposite of what they did with a young Tom Brady. Like, a young Tom Brady, they were able to, A, they had a great defense like they have now, but they had better players around them on both sides of the ball. They added to it, right? They drafted Deion Branch in Brady's second year as a starter. Then they trade for Corey Dillon in 2004. Like,
John,
but the way they've handled it is different.
Did Brady have mid-level to above mid-level talent at the receiver position during his heyday?
Yes.
Did he have
100%?
Did he have top 10 receivers in the league?
Yeah, he had the best tight end ever.
Well, I said receivers. I didn't say tight end.
Oh, but they're pass catchers. It's a huge part of the offense. Well, but if you want, fine. That. You want to do that. Randy Moss, one of the best receivers ever.
Oh, right.
Wes Welker could be in the Hall of Fame. Julian Edelman could be potentially in the Hall of Fame. Deion Branch won a Super Bowl MVP, could have won another. Troy Brown, who we don't look at as an elite receiver, and
look,
we never would. Troy Brown had 101 catches in 2001. Nobody on this roster right now, even 22 years later, with an NFL much more open to the passing game, would sniff 101 catches. And David Patton, by the way, in 2001, he didn't suck. He was much better than
top names that people are screaming for.
I would take both of those guys over anybody the Patriots have catching passes right now. No doubt in my mind. Absolutely.
Craig in Rhode Island, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
How are you guys doing? What was that guy talking about? I mean, that was ridiculous. I had to call after that. But, yeah, no, that's definitely all on Mac. I mean, You can't disrespect a coach on national TV like he did last year and not be caught consequences for it. You know what I mean? Brady had to earn his. You know, he came into the league. He had to earn it from day one. He didn't have star receivers. Yeah, he got Gronk. Eventually, he got Moss. Yep. That he had to earn it. Mac's been spoiled his whole life. It's easy math.
Craig, thanks for the call.
Yeah, and I think like the embarrassing coaches on national TV part, right. You do it once. Like, you know, you're a young player. You boil over once. Okay, all right. Like, I it's not okay, but I understand, hey, your emotions boil over one time. You do it twice, I think that's kind of a problem. You do it three times, I'd be willing to just sit your butt down and bench you until you can get – because, like, to me – I understand Patricia and Judge were bad offensive coaches last year. I didn't like the way they structured the offense. And for the most part, I didn't like the way they called games. But in their defense, I mean, did they call for Mac to throw three interceptions in the second half against Baltimore? Yeah. No. Did you see them embarrassing him on national TV? No. Right? Did they call for the offense to totally disappear in the fourth quarter against Minnesota?
At this point in the middle of his third year, you can say there's enough evidence where you don't have to use the lack of talent as a backbone to make an excuse for Mac Jones.
Yeah, he has played poorly independent of all the other, like, he has been put in a bad position, and I maintain that, and I think it's true, but he's also not made the most of whatever position he's been put in. Like, he's played poorly for long stretches of time, and this year he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, there's no escaping that. And again, it's not just the mistakes. It's the catastrophic mistakes. Like, you throw across the field twice in three plays against Dallas. You get away with one. The other one's a pick six. Like, I don't care if me, KJ, and Joe Braverman are your three receivers. You shouldn't be throwing across the field
twice in three plays. We can't get up the hill fast enough.
Yeah, like, I mean, come on, man, right? Like, I
don't
care.
Run up the crown of the hill, come back down the crown.
I don't care if you have the Cincinnati Bengals receiving core. I mean, do you see Joe Burrow throwing across the field twice out of three plays, right, and getting pick sixed on one of them?
Well, then that goes back to, and while I don't think anybody could ever compare or step into Brady's shoes, and it's always tough for the next person to come along,
sure,
that was supposed to be Cam Newton. And I think you have to take advantage of that. You have to say, you know what? The guy who was in front of me came in, had a losing season, really couldn't get some things done. I'm here to bring things along. I probably need to do less and then prove that I can do more down the road. Instead, you try to prove that you could do everything right away and do less later on. And in fact, when you're doing less, you now have verbalization to go along with that. You can't, I don't care what society, in your job, you can't do any of that stuff. So that's why I say, you know, when you mentioned with Brady and his receivers, there was a level of respect that those guys say, you know what, when I go out here and run this route, there's a guy who's throwing me the ball who has a story of determination. That any person who got on this roster for the Patriots you could be pick one, round one, Mr. Everything. Guess what? The leader was a castoff, and he sets the team. Now you have a person who was pretty much kind of silver spooned into the quarterback position. And what kind of respect would you have as a receiver if this guy's coming? Like, let's just call it what it is. All the receivers who are with the Patriots right now are all guys that pretty much this was the last offer. Like, this is the last ride. Like, who did the Patriots outbid to get these receivers? Who do you think?
Oh, gee, I want to say nobody, like off the top of my head.
I would bet, I would push my mortgage with you and say that probably nobody else. And that is respective of who's going to throw them the ball. That's how you get better ones, right? So you can be Belichick and say, you know what, instead of trying to get into this rat race of paying high money for receivers as my Deion Branches and those guys are going and fading and their years are ending and I'm not going to find a bunch of Edelmans, I'm going to do this two tight end thing where, one, I pay less of a price against the cap for a tight end because he's considered an offensive lineman, right, and make them pass catchers. That's Bill's genius moving the team forward in that kind of that second wave of what the Patriots were as a dynasty. Now you still have that in play. Like, if you
do
said
you have
three,
that in play, though?
If you said 3 years ago your tight ends were Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki, what would you say?
It's not 3 years ago, though. Those guys aren't good enough. They're not good enough.
Okay, 2 years ago, when Mac got into the league. If 2 years ago, Mac had Hunter Henry and
Mike Gesicki. Good 2 years ago. Hunter Henry was good 2 years ago. I think he's fallen off a little. But
so, why, So they.
But that's a lot different than having the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL.
But do they fall off because of their own production, or do they fall off because of the production that is supposed to help them?
It's a great question. I think it's a little bit of both, but it's a great question. Like, I mean, if Mac was better, would we see, you know, better play out of these guys? I think 100%. But if these guys were better, like if DeVante Parker doesn't get pushed all the way into the sidelines in week two against Miami, do we see an interception there from Mac? Probably not. Like, so I think there's a little bit of both there. I think it's a great question, though, KJ, because I think this receiver core is one of the worst in the NFL, but is it as bad as it's shown? I don't know if it's necessarily as bad as it's shown talent-wise.
All right, thanks for spending your Saturday with KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Next, the M&M parody for Mac fans here on WEEI. Hang out.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jay and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Still to come, the Celtics in a weird game last night. And this in-season tournament is kind of ridiculous. That's still to come. More Patriots talk as well. Let's go to text line 37937. John, what you got? Joe, what you got?
Okay, let me just stop the music. Here we go. 401 texter. The only chance Mac ends up a good NFL QB is if we find out he felt confined under Bill's system.
You think he needs to sit down with Gail King or something like that, John?
Yeah, confined is they have one of the most complex systems in the NFL. I don't think you can be, unless the complexity confined him, but I don't view it that way. No.
Do you think it might be you think there could be a comprehension issue?
Well, I don't know if it's with Mac, but I did find this interesting, and Albert Breer talked about this on Boston Sports Tonight a couple weeks ago, and I found it interesting. Like, the concept of the Patriots simplifying the offense last year was probably a smart thing to do, because you didn't have this institutional knowledge of Brady and McDaniels for, 20 years.
Nor did you have to bring a brand new system.
But you picked the wrong two guys to simplify it, right, with Patricia and Judge. So, like, the theory of, hey, we're going to simplify this so, guys like Nelson Aguilar and Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry can just play faster. Like, the concept of that, I can see some of the wisdom there. The problem is the way they went about it was about as bad of a way as you can go about it. And on top of that, you had a rookie quarterback who was pretty comfortable his rookie year in a system, comes in second year to a new system with guys who aren't as qualified to teach it, and he's not as comfortable.
KJ and Lyons on the Odyssey app. It's free. If you missed any of the show, type WEEI. Brings you right here. You can play the show in chapters if you missed any. 37937 text line. One more, Joe.
All right, let's take a look at the 603. 603 says, Mac got done dirty, period. He is making bad throws because he doesn't trust his O-line. What do you think Tom would say if he was still playing? Do you guys think they would be playing better or putting a circus in offensive line out there?
I think you would have a better roster out there because Brady's on the roster.
Well, yeah, no kidding. But I think if Brady was here, they would have never had Patricia and Judge run the offense last year. So I that would not have happened if Brady was here. When we even saw it, right, when McDaniels left, they went to Bill O'Brien. And when Bill O'Brien left, they went back to McDaniels for Brady. And he essentially brought the Patriots offense, or at least his version of it, to Tampa when he went there. So even though Bruce Arians was there, that was Brady's thing. So I think, that would not have happened. And would the roster around him be better? Yeah, I think possibly. But, I mean, that is a larger thing. That's a larger question, because we saw this roster start to deteriorate in 2019. Now, right. They won the division because Brady's great, and they had just enough there with Edelman still being here and James White still being here. I'm pretty sure we can go back and check, but I think James White was their leading receiver in the 2019 season. I think he had 72 catches that year. So, like, they still had some of that institutional knowledge. Stephon Gilmore won Defensive Player of the Year that year, but we saw it starting to deteriorate. Like, they lose in the wild card round. So, you know, would they be better than they are now? Sure. Would they be a Super Bowl contender like in 2021 and 2022 with Brady? I don't know about that because I think we saw those signs of roster deterioration while Brady was still in his last year here.
So over the last 2.5 years, I've been on this, I don't want to say mission, but it's just kind of like I felt like Columbo, the old detective, like, something isn't right here. Where I felt like Mac Jones just hadn't earned it. But yet it seemed like this groundswell of Mac is great. Jersey sales, top 10, so much great feeling about him. And parody songs were made by him here on the station that I think were overall fair, never addressing his character. So in my very last song parody I will ever make about Mac Jones as a member of the Patriots, this is for you, Mac Stands. Hit it, Joe.
Here to remind you. It's always been bad. It's always been bad.
My team's gone cold and I don't know why. You defend this guy at all.
Yeah.
Three defenders in the passing window. And still he throws the ball. And if Max Stands could, they would say, it's not worse than Pablo Sandoval. Here to remind you that it's always been bad. It's always been bad.
Dear Mac, I root for you, but suddenly you're not balling. Last in division, last in conference, NFL near the bottom. I sent 2 letters from here in Dedham. You must not have got them. Probably got picked off in the 37 backer, saw it coming. Sometimes when I dance the gritty, it looks kind of sloppy. What's up with the arm, man? Did it die like Apollo did in Rocky? ASAP, get that checked. If that's what it is, that's a bummer. Do you think you'll be back here next summer?
No.
After you were drafted, I called the team store several times, asking what your jersey number would be because it would be mine. I tell everyone Cam spelled backwards equals Mac. Dominating the convo on Reddit and social, I had your back. I nearly got to a scrap with some fans over Zappy. That damn fever was annoying. Boy, I wasn't happy. Only a person like me saw that you were the master plan. I don't know cursive, but this letter's from me, Mac Stan.
My team's gone cold and I don't know why. You defend this guy at all. 3 defenders in the passing window. And still he throws the ball. And if Mac Stands good, they would say, it's not worse than Pablo Sandoval.
And that was bad.
Here to remind you that it's always been bad. It's always been bad.
Dear Mac, has the play calling gone broke? Defended you last week at a bar, I gave a guy the Draymond choke. You don't need fixing, all your Mac Stands say it's Bill. We could get online and say he's behind your declining skills. Should we write a letter to Dan Orlovsky at the mothership? Back us up like Stafford and loan a voice to quell this. I can't stand to hear all these fair weather fans and non-believers. I keep trying to tell them all Mac needs is a receiver. Hayden Rex Ryan says you have a pea shooter for an arm, but I've got some photos of him doing things with pig's feet on a farm. Drake May is a better Mac, and I don't want that Caleb dude. May is Mitch Trubisky, and Caleb doesn't even look like you. You've got to turn it around, Mac. I'm your biggest fan. You'll never lose. Sincerely. From your Mac Stand, unless in April of 2024, the Patriots draft at number 2.
My team's gone cold and I don't know why. You defend this guy at all. 3 defenders in the passing window.
3 defenders!
And still he throws the ball. And if Mac Stands good, they would say, it's not worse than Pablo Sandoval. Here to remind you that it's always been bad. It's always been bad.
Yeah, Mac Stands.
My team's gone cold and I don't know why.
I know.
You defend this guy at all. 3 defenders in a passing window. And still he throws the ball. And if Mac Stands could, they would say, it's not worse than Pablo Sandoval.
Panda.
Here to remind you that it's always been bad. It's always been bad.
Always. Been bad.
Wow, that's the first time I've heard you rap. That was pretty good. That was a good rap.
That was a letter as the Mac Stand.
MCKJ.
No, you don't put MC in front. I'm not like one of these foreign rappers. No, I'm not a rapper at all.
Like MC Hammer. You know?
That is poetry. Well, that's a good one. He sold a lot of records.
Yeah, but that's
the poetry. Look, you think of the call we just got earlier from the guy. That would be a Max Stan letter he would have written. Now, for anybody who's scoping out the
post
office.
Would you pay for a Max autograph on a starter cap? Because I don't think too many people would.
Now?
Yeah, be like, I don't think
so. I'll give you a liverwurst sandwich in exchange.
Yeah, if that.
If you missed any of the show, you probably don't want to rehear that if you're a Max stan. But next to you on KJ and Lines, we talk Celtics, this in-season tournament, running up the score like it's La Liga. I got an issue here. KJ and Lines, the second hour next to you on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!